to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we mean that, because he is back.
I'm back.
Bigger and better than ever. Paul Strohle, welcome back.
I'm back, and I'm I don't know if I'm better than ever. I know I'm bigger than ever, because I was in Chicago eating deep dish pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
And Matt's chocolate chip cookies and Matt's oatmeal raisin cookies.
And who is Matt?
Euros. I don't know, but he makes a hell of a cookie.
Yeah.
You see what I did there? I'm always working. I'm sorry. I'm a little late with my own rim shot. But happy to be back, and especially happy to be back. One of the great things about having your own podcast radio show, as we do,
right,
is whenever you feel like you missed something, you can just reschedule it. And so I missed Kevin Tice being on the air with us when the wonderful and talented Andrew David James took over and did such a great job for me while I was gone. But I did feel a little melancholy about not having Mr. Tice on the air. So I just said the hell with it. We rescheduled and we brought him
back.
Right.
So we brought
Kevin,
him back.
Delighted
back
to have
by
you here.
Popular demand.
Hi, fellas. Great to be here.
Very
Hello.
Happy to
How
have you.
How are you?
Always happy to be here.
Well, we've got a great show today.
It's going to be good. And, of course, the other gentleman that we have, the incredibly acclaimed, well, we'll tease that. We have him waiting in the wings, as it were.
So we've said incredible and acclaimed. That's what we've said so far.
Incredible and acclaimed.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's pay the bill. Let me pay the bills first, and then we'll let people know what's going on.
Sure.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Yes, we're very grateful to have those
people with us. So yes. Paul, just for a little couple of minutes of banter, because we haven't seen each other, but we can get some
I don't
of
do
this.
Banter.
You
I
don't?
Did once in college, but I was experimenting. So now that I don't do the banter.
How did she get through it?
Wow. Oh, it's a tough room. Tough room. It was a wonderful, to answer your question.
You've been gone 10 weeks.
Thank you. Yes, so. It was wonderful to be in Chicago, my adopted hometown where my lovely wife calls home, hometown Chicago girl, Monica Kaiser. And it's sort of, Kevin and I are sort of on the actor exchange program, really,
exactly.
Because Kevin is staying in my place here in L.A. while I didn't stay at his place. I stayed at my in-law's place.
Right.
And sort of spent some wonderful time with them. I want to give a huge shout-out to Shirley Hamilton Talent in Chicago, who was kind enough to take me back on for the time that I was there. Sent me out a bunch and got to reconnect with some casting directors there, which I'm heroically grateful for. It's nice to
And, of course, we had that lovely, lovely lady.
Claire
Simon. Claire,
yes.
On our show a couple weeks back.
Lots of downloads
The big deal for Chicago casting.
Yes, and that broadcast, the one that we had Kevin on, the same broadcast, huge download numbers on that. I looked it up, and we're doing very well on that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. But,
He has to pull Claire. He has to pull you. Jeez.
I do want to tell you more, and I do want to hear about what happened in your life while I was gone. But we have this gentleman waiting on the phone. I think we talk to him first, and then we can recap after that. What do you
think? Got it. I think that's All a right. great idea.
Would you give this gentleman the intro that he is so due, Mr. Sterling?
I would be so happy to. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is a multi-million selling recording artist, Tony-nominated Broadway and television actor, award-winning playwright, composer, director, and most recently, best-selling author. Before American Idol, before The Voice, he first exploded into the public eye as the premier winner of TV's Star Search. On Broadway, he starred in The Life. Tony, which won a Tony, he starred in The Life, Tony, Outer Critics Circle, Drama Desk nominations were received for that performance, and The Producers, and Grease, which he got a Drama Desk nomination. He has starred in the national tour, off-Broadway, and regional credits include Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Hair, Pippin, Jesus Christ Superstar, Cabaret, The Jazz Singer, and The First Wives Club.
On it's television, really unfortunate he couldn't do any well-known shows. You know, these people with these made-up credits, I tell you.
Who is this person?
He was a regular on the CBS sitcom The Class, had a recurring role on Rules of Engagement, and has appeared on every talk show from Leno to Oprah to Fallon. He has 9 studio CDs to his credit, has toured the globe in concert, and he made Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest singers of all time.
He is currently on stage in Ham, a musical memoir. Well, actually not currently, because it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He's on that probably in the evenings. Directed by Billy Porter at the Los Angeles LGBT Center's Lily Tomlin Jane Wagner Cultural Arts Center, playing through February 7th. We are delighted to join us, the wonderful and talented Sam Harris is with us. Sam, are you there?
I'm so exhausted from that introduction.
I was just going to say, Sam, we're out of time, but we appreciate having you on.
Exactly. Like, what are you guys doing?
Well,
and also, I have to say before we talk about the other stuff, you mentioned Chicago, and yes. I have family in Chicago. I have in-laws in Chicago. And it's not the deep dish pizza that gets me. It's that they only, particularly at holidays, they only serve dip. Like, there's never a main course. It's just like the taco dip, the bean dip, the shrimp dip, the beer
right.
dip. It's like, it's just a table of dip.
You're right. It's like, just you need the chip, and then you can go anywhere in the world, and you've got every cuisine and
hundreds
culture
of dips.
Cover.
And yet, you know, it's like, could I have a protein? Could I have a piece of meat? No, just dip.
Okay. All right, Sam. So let me ask you this. You've been to Chicago. Are you from Chicago originally?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay. So, but you've been to Chicago. We talked deep dish. There is only one culinary travesty as far as Chicago is concerned. And we'll just touch on this because I don't want to eat into your time. The thin crust pizza that's cut into squares. Don't understand that at all. Have you encountered that?
You mean that they have it in Chicago or in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Or anywhere else?
In Chicago,
slices.
They take a regular round thin crust pizza.
I like that.
And they cut it into little squares, like plain
crust. I like it. They do that here, too. And I like a thin crust pizza because it's like little matzahs, you know? You're not eating all that bread. It's a little matzah.
Oh, no.
I like it.
I dig the thin crust.
You're complaining about this, the shape?
The shape, because it gets soggy. And the thing is,
how could it get soggy? And then
Because they cut them in little squares.
Yeah.
And the pie crust, when you cut something like a wagon wheel, that's perfect design. You got the big crust as your handle. You got the small tip of the slice to put in your mouth. It cools the same way. I'm sorry. I can't talk about this because I'm going to get too irritated. Sam, let's talk about your show.
You're very upset. I want you to calm down and think about another food.
Let's talk about your show. Speaking of food, your show, Ham. Can you Ham, a musical memoir. Was there a causal event? Was there one thing that sort of kicked this off for you? Was it years in the making, or did you have sort of a eureka moment that told you you wanted to write a memoir?
Well, yeah. The book, the show and the book, the show is based on the book. The book came out with Simon & Schuster in 2014.
Okay.
And that was not even years in the making. I had always written for different mediums, but never a book. And I just started writing essays, and it kind of came together and happened pretty quickly. I love writing. I love words. I love punctuation. I love rhythm. And so it happened really beautifully with them. And then when I was promoting it, the book, rather than go into bookstores and libraries and book signings, I said, why don't we promote this in theaters, because that's my wheelhouse.
Sure.
So I would read stories and then sing a song or two, you know? And I was doing that when I was doing it in New York. A couple of Broadway producers, Susie Dietzen and Elaine Krauss, saw it and said, you know what, this is the beginnings of a show. Are you interested in developing this for an actual play?
Wow.
And of course I was. So they put sort of a dream team together with my longtime music director, Todd Schroeder, and Billy Porter in New York. And we started turning it into a stage play, a musical play. And now here we are. We did it off-Broadway last year, and now we're in Los Angeles. And I'm really, really proud of it. It's very personal, obviously, because it's about my stuff.
Sure.
Well, congratulations congratulations, Sam, on the reviews you've been getting, especially the L.A. Times, taking the word ham away and saying it's really mignon.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
It's so nice because, you know, in my situation, I think so little of myself that it's so exciting when somebody thinks more of me.
Sam, the songs in this, I'm always curious about how things like this are assembled. Did you, because you were working from the book, was the narrative already sort of outlined for you and then you seasoned it with songs after the fact, or did you come up with the songs that you knew you wanted to present and sort of hobble a narrative around that?
Not at all. No, it came from the text.
Okay.
And the book is not in chronological order. It's a mishmash of essays that sort of go through different times. There's no timeline on it.
Gotcha.
But the play is chronological. And then from that story came the original songs.
Okay.
It's a play, you know. I mean, it's got an arc, it's got development, it's got a through line,
and the
songs reflect that.
The beginning, middle, and end. And all the song, and it's all original songs.
It's not all, because there are some things in my life that I sang at that time were popular at that time that we use sort of as performance songs. But about half the material is original that I wrote and that I wrote with my music director, Todd Schroeder.
See, I can't tell you how exciting that sounds to me. I'm not the musical theater person that Michael is. He's more, it's more his wheelhouse. And I enjoy it and I have worked in musicals before. But that really sounds interesting to me, because so many of the times you see these reviews or one-person shows, and it's basically a showcase of established songs that they sang and other things that they've tied together. So to hear that about half the content is original is very exciting. It's probably one of the things people are responding to.
And to have Todd Schroeder, of course, who I know has been your longtime musical director, he's also a friend of mine. And I think the world of Todd and Billy Porter and Lee Martino, who
she's great
singing.
And one other person, Ken Sawyer.
Yes.
Billy's in rehearsals for Shuffle Along in New York, so he came out for a few days to sort of, pass the torch and go over what we were changing. And Ken Sawyer, who's a local director, is really quite brilliant, and it's taken this to a different level that we were unable to do in New York, and just beautiful, beautiful work. I am surrounded by amazing people, which is so great, you know, because I wrote it and I'm in it, and it's very hard to take off those hats.
Yeah.
And when you have incredible people that could just say, okay, now you can be the actor, you know,
it
makes all the difference in the world.
I'm sure you take a big breath and just relax when you know that all of those people are around you. So.
Well, because you've
worn
so many hats up until that point. I did a one-person show for 9 years, Sam. I did over 1,400 performances of it.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how much when you get to that point where you can hand that stuff over, because, you know, up until then, your chief cook, it doesn't matter, even someone who's like you, so established in so many different mediums, you know, you're still chief cook and bottle washer until that show opens, you know?
Yeah, and it's a tremendous relief to let them do their job better than you could do their job.
Right.
And then you get to do yours.
Right.
And in this play, as it's developed, you know, in the book, obviously, I'm talking about other people in my life, and in the play, I am playing them.
Yeah.
I play an 80-year-old black woman. I play this guy who was my mentor, who's this New York Jewish fabulous character. I play my father. I play my 7-year-old son, you know. So it took on a whole different life than the book, which was also valuable with Billy and with Ken as well, because, you know, it's my life. It's true. There's a book about it. And
exactly.
So they said, okay, now this is a show. You've got to divorce yourself from the literalness of the book, because this is a show.
Exactly.
So go home and write the scene rather than it just being a narrative, you know?
Exactly, because, I mean, like you said, it's a theater piece. Don't tell it, live
right.
it. Just live it in front of the people rather than...
Exactly, exactly.
We should alert people on how they can get tickets for
Absolutely.
This, Michael. Would you like
Absolutely.
To, Michael?
Sure, I'm happy to. Again, we're talking with Sam Harris and his all-new show, Ham, a Musical Memoir, and it is currently on stage at the Los Angeles LGBT Center's Renberg Theater, which is in the Hollywood area. And it is actually, I'm going to give you the address, too. It is 1125 North McCadden Place, one block east of Highland, just north of Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood. Free on-site parking, ladies and gentlemen, is available. Ticket prices.
Isn't it how important in Los Angeles? That's like as important as anything else. Can I park?
Oh, yeah. No. I'm surprised Michael didn't say that first. I got to tell you.
If you want free parking, go see Sam's show.
As a matter of fact, you'll love my new one-man show, Free Parking. It's a very exciting thing about a car hop.
Well, don't just show up. Now that you've given out the address, people, don't just show up. Call and get a ticket.
Exactly.
This is our last. We've been open for 3 weeks, and we close on Sunday.
I'm
having a blast. So
To get those tickets, which are very, very affordable, simply call 323-860-7300, or you can certainly go online at lalgbtcenter.org/theater and get tickets that way as well. Calling is perhaps easier, 323-860-7300. And we can't thank you enough for joining us today, Sam, and spending some time here. We're big fans of yours. Also, my sweet friend Nita Whitaker said to say hello to you.
And my sweet friend, too. Love me.
She is an angel on this earth.
Yes,
an angel
is.
On this earth. You guys are a pleasure. You're fantastic.
Sam,
it's a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Sam, we know you have a lot of plates spinning right now, so we really, really appreciate you pulling the time and sharing it with us. And for our listeners that just heard that information about the tickets, be advised that we will share that a couple of more times before the end of the hour, so you'll be able to know how to see Sam Harris's show, Ham, A Musical Memoir. Sam, thank you so much. We appreciate having you on.
My great pleasure. Have a great day.
You bet. Bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Lovely man.
What a nice guy.
Yes, he is.
What a nice guy. He's really
real
nice.
Real spunky and perky.
You know,
and
I think that now that we have Mr. Tice here, Mr. Kevin Tice, who's next, and after Sam, of course, I think we should also introduce our celebrity guest.
My goodness, that's right.
Yes.
So today it's nice of him to stop by.
Jack Nicholson is going to join us.
Jack?
Yes. Mr. Nicholson, are you with us?
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Well, there's no real questions anyway, just yet, Jack, but we'll get to
how
that.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, yes.
Pleasure to meet you.
How you doing?
Yes.
I'm fine.
I was expecting you to be wearing pants, but whatever makes you comfortable.
Hey, he doesn't need that.
Okay.
He's a big star.
Sorry.
And we're not wearing pants, so what are you asking that for?
Pantsless
Thursday.
When
in Rome, I guess. All right.
Mr. Sterling, before I introduce Mr. Tice, how was your time was gone?
Well, super busy, and as we said earlier at the beginning of the show, in the hot seat over there where Paul sits was Andrew David James, and he did do a terrific job, Paul.
And you know, I gave him short shrift at the beginning of the show. I just wanted to say that, you know, it's not like what we do here is so complicated,
right.
But we sit here, we have the board here, we have all of this stuff. It's a lot of things to juggle, especially for a first-timer. And Andrew was just seamless. He was clever. I knew he was clever, and I knew he was funny, and I knew he was well-spoken, far more so than me. What a pleasure it was to listen to the show.
Yeah,
I would just listen to the show enjoy the time. And follow Andrew and what he does. AndrewDavidJames.com. You can go to his website. And really, if this young man is performing locally, don't miss it, because he'll never be disappointed.
And he's got a great show coming up.
Yeah.
Based on Edgar Allan Poe.
That he wrote.
And he is doing. Yeah. And he's going to have, I think he's going to join us at some point, too, to talk about that soon.
I don't want that putz on the show. Oh, what? Sorry.
With one of the other actors.
It's actors. Okay.
Yes.
But
indeed.
I stepped on you, Michael. I asked you how your time was, and then I hijacked it.
I'll tell you. My time has been spent knee-deep in 20 incredibly talented young men and women who are a part of LA's Next Great Stage Star 2016, presented by Princess Cruises. I say that so proudly. They have come aboard, if you'll pardon the pun, for their first year. And boy, they have just made the biggest difference in the world on the production aspect of the show and the excitement and the energy and the gift-giving that they are providing for the competition. You know, they are giving a $5,000 cruise up the West Coast or the Mexican coast.
Oh, that Mexican Riviera cruise.
Yes, either one for two people, guaranteed stateroom with balconing. And that is a random drawing. So everyone who attends Stage Star is automatically registered for that.
Oh, wow.
And the odds, you know, we're in an equity waiver house, so the odds are pretty good because we only have six performances.
Yeah.
So you're one of 700 maybe at the most. Yeah. We put extra seats in sometimes.
Beats the hell out of the Powerball odds.
Exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But they are so generous, and they've sent to my home gifts for all of the contestants.
Oh.
The contestants don't even know that yet.
I've talked to a number of people who are cruisers. I've never been on a cruise myself. And so if Princess is listening, you know, I do have a radio show. That's all I'm saying. But I always hear nice things about that company. I know people who've worked for them before in performance aspects, and they're
very classy. And, yeah. You know, we are in our fifth – we just finished our fifth week, so we're coming into the finale on Monday night. Wow. We do the finale. Mm-hmm. And it's all the bells and whistles that we can possibly have. The winner will win $2,500.
Wow.
One of our judges, Marco Gomez, who has been on this show from Doma Theater, was so impressed. He said to me – he pulled me over. He said, how much is that prize money? I said, $2,500. He said, Doma Theater is going to give another $500 because we want to help.
Hmm. Oh, wow. So, that's wonderful.
So whoever wins is a $3,000 prize.
$3,000 a cruise? What the hell am I doing here? Why aren't I at America's Next?
I'm in the wrong business.
And a recording a contract with us.
We've written the
brand new song. Myself and Gary Lynn Floyd have written it. And it's based on the emotional part of going through something like this.
Oh, really?
And it's called I'm Where I Belong. And it will be we've already done all the tracks, and we'll take the winner in the studio to record it shortly after the competition.
And why do I think that it's going to debut here on our show?
You're right.
Well, I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, good. Boy, you have had a lot of plates spin.
Yeah.
Let me introduce this gentleman who sat here so patiently here. Our next guest has been an actor, writer, director, and producer in Chicago for over 25 years. He's performed at the Goodman Theater, Oak Park Festival, Next Theater, Shaughnessy Theater, which is now the Irish Theater of Chicago, I believe.
That is correct.
CT20 Ensemble, where he served as artistic director, and he has directed at Shaughnessy, City Lit, CT20, Oak Park Festival, and has been nominated for three Joseph Jefferson Awards for his directing work. As a writer, he has two published plays, adaptations of Thomas Heywood's Fair Maid of the West and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes' The Sign of the Four, both of which are available through Dramatic Publishing. His first novel, Confessions of a Transylvanian, is available in both Kindle, trade paperback, and audiobook formats. And his very popular blog, Invading Nirvana, a Chicagoan in the City of Angels, chronicles the journey he'll discuss with us here today. Please welcome a man who is convinced that the end of the world will be caused by the Oreo cookie, Mr. Kevin Tice.
Thank you.
Kevin, just want to say, never liked you.
Nope.
Never did.
Nope.
Don't know why I got you here. Just that seat was empty and we had to do something.
Every morning I wake up and I'm crashing at Paul's place. Every morning I wake up and think, why? Why do you hate me, God?
So, Kevin, thank you so much for coming back. Like I said, I was not lying when I said that I really thought I missed a fun time when Andrew and Michael had you on the show before. But out of the chute, quick question for you. You're a Chicagoan. Mm-hmm. You live there. You're here testing the waters very successfully here in the City of Angels. What are the first things that pop into your head in terms of a difference between here and Chicago in terms of the theatrical climate?
Well, the climate, of course, is the first thing that anybody mentions because they always say, well, you know, it's got to be 4 degrees back in Chicago. But what I found in the past month is when I call home, generally speaking, the temperature in Chicago is only about 10 degrees colder than it has been here in Los Angeles. Yeah. So it's not the weather. It's not the weather at all. And as much as I miss my family, and of course I miss my wife and my children, the climate itself out in Chicago is much more accelerated. You know what your next project is generally going to be. Mm. And in Los Angeles, you don't know anything. And even when you audition for something, you don't find out for weeks or longer before anybody even gives you a call to say, hey, we're going to hire you. Well, in Chicago, you know almost right away, especially if it's theater. If you audition, if you don't hear in the next couple of days, you know you blew the audition. You're not in.
It's funny that you say that, because I have auditioned for stuff 3 years ago, and I still haven't heard.
Yeah,
and
keep waiting.
That's really...
Keep waiting, you know, by the phone, Paul.
Well, I do.
It's kind of rude.
It's terrible. I sit on the milk crate, and I just rock back and forth like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Yeah. I've watched them do entire productions that I think I'm going to be in. And they'll close, and I'll think, boy, you're really missing the boat.
Should have used me before. Another thing I want to talk to you about, and I am going to put you on the spot here about this, because I'm very interested in a visceral reaction to this.
Sure.
Casting director workshops. These casting director workshops mm-hmm. that you were told about that took place out here. There's sort of a distinctly Los Angeles thing.
It is.
What's your experience? What's your take on it? What do you think?
This is uniquely L.A., at least we have nothing like this in Chicago. And you have to remember, Chicago is a microcosm of this industry. In Chicago, we only have four casting directors in the entire city. Four. You have 130 casting directors here in L.A. And it's even given that large number, given the number of actors that you have here, it's almost impossible to meet them. So what they do here, and for those listeners who don't know this, is there are various studios around the city here in L.A. that have a roster of casting directors who hold these workshops. And you pay a fee to join the studio, mm-hmm. and then you get to see a calendar of all the casting directors who are going to show up. And then you can pay a fee, and it can range from $25 to $30 to $40 to upwards of $60 per audition. And it's not called an audition, but it's a workshop. You go in and you read a piece of copy for these casting directors, and it's a chance to put yourself in front of people that actually cast these big TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I was told about this when I was researching coming to LA, and every single actor that I talked to in the city said exactly the same thing. They said they're terrible. They shouldn't be allowed. The union should outlaw it, and you really should do it because they work sometimes. Every single one of them said,
really?
Yeah, you got to try it out. You have to do it. So I joined one of these studios that I will not name, and I went on five of these. And you prepare. They give you sides from their website, and you download the sides, and you read them over, and you prepare just like you prepare for any audition. And you go in, and you pay a fee. Between the five of them, I paid over $250 to go in and do these meetings or workshops or whatever you want to call them, in the hopes that down the road they're going to call perhaps for an audition.
Right.
And it was just a terrible experience. I really hope to never have to do it again. I think it's unethical. I'm sure that everybody makes money off it, but you're basically you're getting these actors who aren't working anyway to shell over their hard-earned money to participate in these workshops that they say right off the bat are not auditions, are not a promise of work. And it's a distasteful episode.
Okay, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but I am curious about one thing. One of the things you just said, mm-hmm. you know, with the glut of people here, 130
yes.
casting directors.
Sure.
If you look at the registered actors and actors access between Chicago and Los Angeles, there's just no comparison.
Right.
So if it does cost a particular actor... those casting directors that are coming, their time is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
So they deserve to be compensated for the time they spend there.
Absolutely.
If it does work, if it does get one on top of the pile, a face on top of the pile, and lead to further work, how is a $25 or a $30 fee any different from paying for a workshop class with an acting teacher as opposed to a casting director who could probably advise? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, I'm glad you are because what you're selling is an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's unstated. What they say is, this is not an audition. This is not a promise of work. We aren't going to guarantee you anything. But there's an implied prize at the end of that journey. You know, it could be. Hey, you never know. We could call you in. Right. So it's the equivalent of buying a lottery ticket. You know, you're saying to them, oh, there's a chance. You never know. But I always think to myself, and it must happen, of course. It must happen because the people that I talk to say, yeah, I've gotten an audition.
They wouldn't still exist. Yeah,
they wouldn't still exist.
Right,
but it just seems so wrong to basically take money from from people who can least afford it, and give it to these folks. Now the other part of it is, if they were giving you feedback, if they were spending actual time with you afterwards and 10 minutes, all right, here's what you need to do for your audition. Let me coach you here a little bit. Let me give you some advice on the next time you come in. This would be helpful in the future with other people. This is what I'm generally looking for. Then that would be a different thing. But it's an assembly line.
Oh, see, now that I did not hear.
Yeah.
Because I've done two of them in my life. And both times, they spent time with me.
Right.
They talked about different ways to do it. So I did not have that experience.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And I mean, and there are ethical, I'm not saying that the casting directors who do this aren't ethical. Mm-hmm. There are certainly those who attempt to do that. I spoke with one outside of the classes who does them, who says, no, I try to give them valuable feedback when they come in to do this. But from my experience, the five that I did, at least, I got almost nothing back. And yeah. I thought, this is a waste of time and money.
Yeah, that's not a good
idea. See, and unlike LA's Next Great Stage Star, but LA's Next Great Stage Star does have a fee attached to it as well, if, you know, through the audition process, those who we select pay a fee.
Sure.
But we have panels of judges in fours and fives for the first 5 weeks who give critical feedback in front of a live audience. This is all produced, mind you. It's just not somebody standing up there singing.
Right. Sure.
But those remarks become, you know, the meat of the competition.
Sure.
This is what those kids are really needing to hear and to absorb this information from the very people that they need to be seen by and the very people that can hire them.
Yeah.
And also, Michael, the fact that in your case, that money is beyond well. I mean, what are the numbers now in terms of the kids that you've had through there that are now on Broadway?
14.
14 kids on Broadway. From through that, not to mention the
and we
scores.
Have another 85 that are making their professional livings in musical theater somewhere in this country, in regional theater throughout California, another part of the theater, U.S. national tours, Las Vegas sit-downs, onboard cruises.
Yeah.
They're working.
Yeah.
They're and doing
that's, that is all. Yours
all
is all feedback.
From these judges.
Exactly.
And then at our finale, for example, all 24 judges who have passed through the competition come back again.
Right.
See what the growth process is. And the next day, overnight, all of the agents who are a part of that process send their wish lists into me on who they want to sign. And I would say 50% of the kids get signed overnight.
You know, I was supposed to do LA's Next Great Stage Star, and I couldn't do it because I had
happened?
Conflict. Well,
what?
I can't sing or dance.
Time.
We have to do our Michael, would you do our arts calendar? And then I know you have a review, and then we'll come back to Kevin after that. We got to pay the bills here and also share our theatrical experiences. And I believe, Kevin, you have a review, sort of a mini review as well.
I do.
Okay, great.
Well, it's just a review kind of day.
It is.
Artistic director Kevin Bailey and co-producers Jay Willick and Barbara Shane are proud to bring the world premiere of Sissy Boy to the main stage of the NoHo Arts Center. Starring James Mellon, this true-life comedic drama is set to open on February 12th. And how did Sissy Boy go from dancer to cancer to living? The answer, 61 years in the making. James Mellon's solo play, Sissy Boy, premieres on stage at the NoHo Arts Center February 12th, as I just said. NoHo Arts Center artistic director James Mellon and producing director and husband of 25 years, Kevin Bailey, have been developing Sissy Boy for 2 years. But the play has ruminated in their minds from the time 4 years ago when James received his one-year cancer-free notice from his doctor. Mellon's battle with stage 4 throat cancer gave new perspective to his life.
And now, having reached the even greater milestone of 5 years cancer-free, this seems the perfect time to celebrate James Mellon's journey from age 7 to 61, from young Catholic schoolboy to Chippendale stripper, from performing with drag queens to starring on Broadway, from party boy to parent, from dancer to cancer to living the answer. If it takes a big man to cry, it takes an even bigger man to be a sissy boy. Once again, this world premiere makes its bow February 12th through March 5th on the main stage of the NoHo Arts Center, located at 11136 Magnolia Boulevard in beautiful North Hollywood. Tickets are available online at ovationtix.com or by calling 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111.
Yep.
That sounds great.
It is. It's very interesting. I've seen bits and pieces of it so
provocative
far,
and inspiring and everything.
Absolutely.
You were an active theater goer, Michael.
I was. Yes, I was. I had the pleasure of attending the opening night of Dirty Dancing, the U.S. national tour, which is trekking through the country and has stopped here in Los Angeles at the Gorgeous Pantages. Always love going there. Gorgeous. With a cast that is led by Christopher Tierney, Gillian Abbott, and Rachel Boone. And also one of our former stage star contestants is also one of the stars.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes. And I must say that, like the movie, which is, you know, I think one of those cult films that people follow because of the, you know, the book wasn't so great. It was all really about the dancing and the music. And that is truly the case with this as well. It is such an enjoyable evening of entertainment. The dancing is spectacular. The technically speaking, what happens with sets and lighting in this show is a lot to behold. It is very contemporary in that sense of technology. But, you know, it's set back in 1963. So
okay. It is set the same time
as
the
film. Oh, yeah. No, it's very, very true to the storyline. Right. And the audience, they know the story so well, and they know some of the lines so well. And certainly the songs.
And no one puts Baby in a corner.
That's right.
And when that, for example, when that line was said, it screams
from
the audience.
Of course.
Then, of course, the kicker at the end of the show, I've had the time of my life. The whole house was up having the time of their life.
Right. Singing along, I would imagine.
Along, screaming, clapping. Yeah. It was just...
obviously, the roof must have come off the place on the jump.
Totally. And when she's up there going around, totally. Yeah. And they are spectacular, these two kids. Yeah. Really. We're going to be having them on the show next week.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Be good to have them. You mean we don't have Kevin a fourth time?
We don't. He's got
always available, fellas. You just call.
I can come. I just park the cars.
I'm minutes away.
I'll park the cars. Oh, that sounds great.
So, and then, Kevin, you said you saw something you wanted to
do. Before he does, Michael, did you give ticket info for that?
Yes. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me, Paul. Pantages Theater, ladies and gentlemen, always a treat to go downtown Hollywood. And this production runs through the 21st of February. And that's Tuesday through Fridays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sundays at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Individual tickets can be purchased for as low as $29. So take note, HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com. I urge you to kind of make it HollywoodPantages.com because you'll pay that exorbitant ticket price on Ticketmaster. Sorry, guys. 800-982-2787 by telephone. Or you can certainly go to the Pantages box office, and which opens at 10 every morning. And chances are, if you do that, you'll probably get better seats than you could by
going online. And no fee.
And no fee. Yeah, on top of it.
Michael, or Kevin, rather. Sorry. First day with a new mouth. What was the show that you saw, a Celebration Theater production?
I went to see Celebration Theater's new production of Dream Boy by Chicagoan Eric Rosen. It's based on Jim Grimsley's coming-of-age, coming-out novel set in the 1970s. It's directed by Michael Matthews. And they're playing at the Lex Theater right down in Hollywood, just off Highland. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous production, a really terrific ensemble. I was absolutely delighted, and it's running through March 20th. I understand that you can get tickets at celebrationtheater.com.
Celebration Theater moved to the Lex recently,
right? It's their new home.
Yeah, their new home. Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space, but the production itself, the set, the lights, the soundscape, but mostly it's the ensemble and the direction. Just a gorgeous show. Highly recommend it.
Michael Matthews has been on this show before with us, and he's a two-time Ovation Award winner. Most recently this year, it was second Ovation Award.
But also Michael Shepard.
Who has been on the show.
And, of course, their casting director, who was kind enough to cast the short film that I did, The Beating, Jamie Rudofsky, who works with them. And they always do wonderful work there.
Yeah, they do.
They really do. We have to take more time and share more about their tales.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to definitely go see that now, since you, especially
it's
a hardcore Chicagoan, has given it a nice review.
Well, you know, I'll say, L.A. theater gets a bad rap sometimes. They talk about New York theater, they talk about Chicago theater, and then sometimes L.A. theater gets the short shrift, but it has not been my experience since I've been here. I've seen four shows since I've been in town, and I've enjoyed every one.
What else did you see?
I saw a wonderful production of A Very Die Hard Christmas at Theater Unleashed that was great fun, and I saw two extraordinary readings at the Antaeus Theater over on Lancashire of Galileo, Brecht's Galileo, and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and it was just incredible. Amazing ensembles, and they were just readings, but it was like seeing a full production, both of them. It was really extraordinary.
And you've got a gig coming up, too. Are you performing tomorrow night somewhere?
I am. Yeah. I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy at Flappers tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, in the Yoo-Hoo Room. So come by and see me. Yeah.
Where is this located?
Flappers is Burbank?
Yes, out in Burbank. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, just on far side of Magnolia. So.
Okay.
So you do stand-up as well?
Brother, I do everything. What do you got?
Chief cook and bottle washer.
That's right.
Flappers, find it online. It's in Burbank, and it's one of the more reputable comedy clubs in town. Great stuff over there. Kevin, I'm intrigued by something that was sort of in your promo packet, as we say. What's your issue with Oreo cookies, man?
I love Oreo cookies.
What's your problem?
But unfortunately, the Oreo cookie is leading to what I believe is the end of Western civilization. Allow me to explain, if you would.
I sense your doubt. What?
Let's just say I sense...
Snotty little bastard.
Jack, just give me a minute. I'll explain.
I think we want some answers.
You want answers?
Yeah, all right. I'll give them to you. Jeez.
You want answers?
All right, cut him off. No more coffee.
Okay.
Well, let me explain. First of all, in 1922, the National Biscuit Company, which later became Nabisco, Yeah, I've done my homework. They come out with the Oreo cookie. And it immediately becomes the most popular cookie in the world, and rightly so. It's great tasting. You can have fun eating. You twist the top off. You lick out the frosting. You can dip it in milk. You crumble it up and put it in a shake. Everybody loves the Oreo cookie.
It's a perfect cookie.
It's the perfect cookie. And
right.
and so it would make $1 billion a year, and everybody was happy. And then one day... some schmuck in the boardroom at the Nabisco company said, you know, guys, you know what a billion-dollar cookie doesn't do? It doesn't make $2 billion. We've got to figure out a way to sell more Oreos. They said, well, that's impossible. How can you do that? So they said, okay, what do people like about the Oreo cookie? How can we improve the perfect cookie?
Michael, what do people like about the Oreo cookie?
Well, they like the cream center.
Exactly. And so they said, let's give them more of the creams. We'll double stuff the Oreo. And they said, that's crazy. Nobody will ever buy a double stuffed Oreo. Well, we'll try it. We'll try it.
That's crazy.
We'll double stuff the Oreo and we'll put it out.
Handle the truth.
See? Jack agrees with me. So they put out this double stuffed Oreo cookie and it starts flying off the shelves. And now instead of making $1 billion, they're making $2 billion. And that was the beginning of the end. Then they all right, how else can we mess with this cookie, right? Ooh, what if we take the dark the outside and put it on the inside, and we make the outside of it white. Maybe people will buy that. And sure enough, they put it up.
So basically what you're saying, they turned Wayne Brady into Eminem.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Perfect analogy.
So that's kind of a vanilla cookie then, right?
That's the other thing. Yeah. They decided they were going to start changing the flavors.
Yeah.
And so they because the Oreo is the perfect flavor, but and they can't triple stuff it. That's ridiculous. So they decide they're going to start messing with the flavors. And I'm not kidding you. Right now, if you go into the store later, and I'm going to give you a list of Oreo cookie flavors here, and I want to assure your listening public right here that the list I'm about to give you is not made up. These are actual Oreo cookie flavors that you can get in the store. You ready?
Yep. Ready.
Banana split Oreo.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, Jack, I agree. Cotton candy Oreos.
Oh my
right?
God.
And then we have your stripper name Oreos. You got your strawberries and cream Oreo. You got your
dying here.
Yeah. You got your brownie batter Oreos,
ooh,
right? And I'm not kidding you. This is real. NASCAR Oreos.
What's a NASCAR Oreo?
A NASCAR Oreo is an Oreo that sleeps with its cousin and votes against its own self-interest.
Oh.
But then last year they came out with two, and I'm not making these up. This is actually the truth, and this is how you know civilization is ending. Right around Halloween time, they came out with, you ready?
Yep.
The pumpkin spice Oreo.
This is ridiculous.
I know.
Wow.
And then they really topped themselves. They came out with the cookie dough Oreo. Now think about that just for a moment, Paul.
Wait, okay.
Cookie dough Oreo.
So it's a cookie.
Yeah.
And it's filled.
And the dough from which the cookie was made.
Right.
The cookie filled with a baby uncooked version.
Right. Basically, it's an Oreo with an Oreo abortion inside of it. Right? And that was it. That was how you knew civilization was coming to an end. Because you can't ever be happy with what you have. You make
for
enough
Christ's
money.
Sake.
You making enough money at work? No, I'm not. Is your wife thin enough? No, she's not. Is she young enough? No, she's not. Is your car fast enough? No, it isn't. Am I fat? You know, we got the fattest country in the world. Are you fat enough? No, I'm not. Give me some more Oreo flavors. So that's my theory.
I didn't know you were going to win me over on the whole cookie Oreo argument, but I think you did.
It's destroying our country.
It is. You know, it's a
demand the original Oreo, people.
Demand the original anything.
Right.
You go up to, you know how hard it is to get toothpaste? You just go, all I want is toothpaste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get, it's an entire shelf of toothpaste. It's like tartar.
I don't have tartar. Just give me toothpaste.
This, you know, the tartar, the extra white, the supreme white, the gingivitis, and there's not, or the other thing too is Kleenex. You just want Kleenex tissues.
Right.
Now you got Cool Touch, you got Warm Touch,
you got Allo Touch,
you get Touch Me Inappropriately. You get all of these different, you know, things.
Touch Me Where My Bathing Suit Goes.
Exactly. It's a very hard selling Kleenex brand.
Oreo Classic. That's all we ask for. People, come on, Nabisco, get on it.
Like Coca-Cola did.
Exactly.
Coca-Cola Classic.
And you know what? Somebody recently told me
that
the Coca-Cola that we should be buying is the bottled Coca-Cola from Mexico.
Mexican Coke, yeah.
Because
far better.
It is pure and there's no sugar in it.
No. It's pure sugar. It's not corn syrup, which is what we have. The Mexican Coke has sugar.
I've been a big fan of Mexican Coke for years.
Yeah.
We're still talking about soda, right? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Do you realize that I work at home?
It's that time. It's that time, Michael. I can't believe this hour flew as quickly as it did. It flew so much it seemed like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
it really
exactly.
did. But, Kevin, I don't know if you were when you were here the last time, if you had to tell a onstage tale of woe,
did.
Something that
yes,
went
he
wrong,
did.
And if you have another one at the ready.
Oh, he does.
I did. I was doing Salieri in Amadeus. And it was the final preview before we opened.
Okay.
And the character, I mean, it's 2.5 hours of talking for this guy. He never leaves the stage. And so I was out there for all the previews and all the rehearsals and all that. And you're just talking. By the time I got to the final preview, my voice was practically shot. And I got out for the first scene and I started talking and I was in the middle of my first monologue and my voice went completely.
Really?
I could not... saying I was croaking, and I finally stopped, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, give me a minute. And I went backstage, and I went for a walk with a hot glass of water, and I drank, and I gargled, and it's an outdoor show. I'm literally walking around the park. Well, there's 200 people sitting there waiting for me to get my act together. And finally, I walked out. I cleared my throat, and I went, here it goes. And I started to talk, and my voice had come back, and I managed to keep it together for the entire show. But I thought... See, not only did I think that show was done for that night, I had an opening the next night, and I thought, this is it. I'm not going to be able to open the show.
Now, what do you think? Just so inflamed or just so raw from talking that much? Because that's an actor nightmare that I've never heard before.
It was. I don't know what to attribute it to. I really don't. I mean, a lot of it was strain and stress, and I probably was using it incorrectly. If you just call on your voice to perform miracles and you don't train it properly and you misuse it, it'll fail you because you're asking it to do something it simply can't do. And it was... absolutely terrifying. But I managed, and then, of course, the whole next day before the opening, I didn't talk all day long. My family was overjoyed. Just over the moon. No, don't, Dad. You can't talk. Remember our show tonight. You know, but yeah.
I never thought about that, though, that not only, but because I don't know if we talked about this, Michael. I was lucky enough to see the first Amadeus on Broadway with Tim Curry as Mozart and
Ian
Jane
McKellen
Seymour.
Was
and Ian McKellen with Salieri and Jane Seymour as Constance. And I didn't realize until you said it. Salieri, it's his show.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's just like he's from beginning
to
end.
He narrates the whole thing. He's in every scene.
Here's a little tip for you from someone that I was very close to all of my life. Rosemary Clooney, and when she would have a problem with her throat, I mean, from whatever that was, weather or whatever, we toured for a couple of years, and I road managed her, she would take, it's a little unorthodox, a fingerful of Vicks Vapor Rub and swallow that.
Oh, my.
And it would coat her cords, and she'd be able to get through the whole show, when before she hardly had any voice.
Huh.
Yeah.
I was going to go with like half a bottle of bourbon, but I like your idea, too.
No, because, Kevin, you want to do something different.
Right.
You just want to do the same old thing.
Instead of what I do every day.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't have the name in front of me, but I'll have it next week, because there is a lozenge that Julie Andrews talked about on some show, and now it's like, it's a glycerin lozenge. lozenge. The apothecary that's in Lincoln Square in Chicago, Merck's, I think it's called. Mm-hmm, there's mm-hmm. a little high-end right. drugstore
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And they have it. And, boy, those are phenomenal.
Yeah.
You talk about the cold coating thing. And then, yeah. you know, it's not – it tastes far better than Vicks VapoRub,
it,
too.
But you're right. The actor's yeah. It is the actor's nightmare. When you, it's the one thing you need. You know, you can go on stage with a cold and muddle through, but if you don't have your voice, boy.
You don't have your voice, that's it. Yeah.
Just knee-knocking terror.
Not only that, but yeah, that's just
knee-knocking
it. It's the panic, too. It's
yeah.
that whole adrenaline
That doesn't help,
thing.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What a pleasure. What a
yes,
pleasure.
Yes, indeed, what and a joy. Pleasure to have you back, Paul Strohle.
It's so good to be back. I'm Yay. So grateful for both of you. And to Mr. Sam Harris, who found the time to squeeze us into his schedule, we're very grateful to have him. We've got about a minute left, Michael. Let's yep. throw that information out there for getting tickets to Ham, a musical memoir. This is written and performed by Sam Harris, directed by Billy Porter, with musical direction by Todd Schroeder, plays through February 7th. So that ends this weekend, folks. So get out there to see that.
It does indeed.
And how do they get tickets for that, Michael? Do you have that in front of you?
I do have it in front okay. of me. Hang on just 1 second. It'll be it right somewhere. In front of me. Yes, very, very simple. This is, of course, simple to get your tickets by calling 323-860-7300 for Ham, starring Sam Harris, who got a most extraordinary review in the Los Angeles Times. And, you know, they're never wrong.
They're never wrong.
There you go.
And a lovely gentleman. And Kevin, thank you so much for joining us again. A pleasure having
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Kevin.
It was a thrill to meet Jack. I really didn't think I would ever
We have the
have
best on this show.
You should answer someone when they speak to you.
Thanks, Jack.
And also,
you can take your hand off my knee now.
Kevin, your blog.
Oh, is that
so
your knee?
Can people find it on Facebook?
Yes, Invading Nirvana, WordPress.com. Please check it out.
Invading Nirvana, a Chicagoan in the City of Angels. A pleasure, gentlemen. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you. See you on the radio.
So long.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Strohle and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.